It's that time. Lock and load. The Michael Berry Show is on the air.
Good morning, Captain.
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 Good morning.
Good morning, Captain. Come on out and play. Wake up the sunshine. Share this rainy day. Good morning, Captain. It's a smile and so we sing. Cause we're happy to see you. And the good times that you bring. Everybody sing.
Hey, good morning. Hello, how you do?
Good morning, Captain.
Today's Michael Berry Show is proudly presented by Foley's. The Foley Brothers Department Store was founded in 1900 by brothers James and Pat Foley. In 1917, the Cohen family of Galveston, Texas bought Foley Brothers. They sold the store to Federated Department Stores in 1945, who then changed the name to Foley's. 2 years later, in 1947, Federated spent $13 million to build the Foley's building that occupied two city blocks, in Dallas. Not only was the store on the cutting edge of innovation, new department store built in America since 1928. The store had air conditioning throughout and the first escalator system in the South. People would stand in line for hours for a chance to take a ride from floor to floor. The curved vista on Main Street was the largest department store window in the country, making the Foley's Christmas window viewing a Houston tradition. It is said that when the store opened for the first time, there were over 20,000 people just waiting to get in. In 1961, Foley's opened its first branch store at the Sharpstown Shopping Center, and it signified Houston's suburban expansion. Foley's was acquired by May Department Stores in 1988, and in 2006, Foley's was rebranded as Macy's. In 2013, the downtown store was demolished, 66 years after it changed Houston forever.
Well, happy Wednesday. I'd like to talk about the crime problem that we are experiencing. Let me tell you first, today is the day we expect the indictment of President Donald Trump. Despite what was previously said, the story goes that the indictment will occur today. That is where the grand jury meets and votes on an indictment. He will be, as is expected, indicted. He will not be arraigned until early next week. So once the indictment occurs, they will begin the conversations between the district attorney and the Secret Service as to how he will be arraigned. This has never happened before. So there is not an easy precedent to draw upon. The Secret Service has a solemn duty to protect him at all times. The president is not left alone. So the Secret Service is not willing to simply send him in somewhere to be booked. He is a former president. It's going to be very, very interesting, and I must say, this is a very dark day in America. And I don't think you ever turn back from this day. I think that once you have crossed this threshold. Once you have committed this act, I don't think you ever turn back from it. And may I say, there are plenty of conservative Republican district attorneys across the country. And I hope that one of them will find a way to indict a prominent Democrat for a crime, but a crime they wouldn't normally charge, and drag them down. And I hope this goes back and forth, because we're far beyond the point of, well, we don't want our country to devolve into that. We've devolved into that. We've turned the other cheek. We've played nice. We've hoped they would take the higher ground. They've not done that, and they're not going to do that. I genuinely hope this blows up in their face. I genuinely hope that Democrats 10, 20, 30 years from now wish they had not done this. I genuinely hope that. I genuinely hope that the blowback from January 6th is that every Black Lives Matter and Antifa protester is not only arrested, but thrown in jail and had the book thrown at them. But as you'll learn, as is going on in Harris County and every major county in the country, that's exactly the opposite of what's happening. What we're experiencing right now is the absolute collapse of the rule of law. I heard from a regional police department yesterday. They had received a call from a woman who, she goes to the bank, she comes home, she goes inside her home, and she's unloading her groceries. And then as she's walking back out, she realizes that someone is in her car scrounging around. She screams. The guy runs, jumps in the vehicle that has driven him there. She gets the license plate number. Now, fortunately, he didn't just pull out a gun and tell her. Normally, today's world, they don't run, not in Harris County. They don't have to, because they're no longer afraid of being caught. But he runs. For her benefit, he runs. Jumps into a car. She gets the license plate. They run the plate. The plate is stolen from another car. But they have these ALPRs in some of the districts, the automated license plate reader. And they are able to track the vehicle. And they track it to a bank close to 610 in the Tanglewood area. And the car is sitting there. And it's outside a bank. So this regional police department is there. They call HPD. Hey, we got these guys. They're bank juggers. They just committed a jugging. They're waiting outside the bank on their next victim. HPD says it's going to be a while before we get there. Look, I don't blame the individual officers. This is what's going on in Houston now, folks. This is where we are. HPD says you've got an active jugging case right in front of you, and you are a regional department. We can't come and take the case. We don't have the resources. This is where we are today. So they follow the guys long enough until the traffic gets bad enough. They swoop in. They take the guys, everything inside there. The guys are confirmed gang members, really bad guys. And this was yesterday, so they're probably back out on the street today. That's where we are. That's why Democrats don't want you to have a gun, because they don't want you to protect yourself. Setting the trends
in everything. The Michael Berry Show. Police, of course.
Skin. Run, but you sure can't hide.
Let me take a step back and try to explain what's going on in Harris County, which is part of a bigger trend. Specific to Harris County is that Rodney Ellis and this guy Arnold, who he and his wife are billionaires, they're one of the biggest donors to left-wing causes, particularly Soros-type causes, with the intention of getting criminals freed so they don't have to go to jail or prison, back out on the streets. I'm sure in their mind they actually think they're doing a good thing. They don't in their minds see themselves as evil. But these are the type of white liberals that view everything through the lens of the criminal, often black, and how that guy didn't have the same chance in life when he started. He didn't have a loving father. He didn't go to a good school. He didn't have opportunities. The things he saw in his community were bad. And so he took to a life of crime, and they've watched Susan Sarandon. All these things are very moving to them. They've seen these PBS or NPR or various liberal documentaries, and they think that every guy that's convicted is actually secretly innocent. And they've seen the Innocence Projects, and this is very moving to them. And so they become convinced that the exception is the rule, and that these people are just being basically arrested for being black, and they're thrown away into this awful world, and that they're going to solve it. They're the white knight that's going to solve it. So when Lena wins in 2018, now they've got the majority on the court, and they immediately enter into what's known as the O'Donnell Agreement. And that agreement basically throws out the code of procedure for the Harris County criminal court system, and basically, on behalf of the county, says we won't hold people who've been arrested, by and large. And that agreement is probably not valid, but they signed on to it. And the ability to overturn that agreement was probably the single most important thing on the ballot to get a Republican, Alex Mueller, elected county judge. Oh, you could clean up the operations, you could make them more efficient, all these other things. But that alone would mean that you would turn the table overnight, which is why they would not allow a fair election, which is why they didn't send ballots on election day, which is why every genius who said, I ain't going to vote early, I'm going to wait till last minute, they won't be able to cheat me. Well, they did cheat you. They cheated you bad. This trend, the overall trend, there are a lot of things at play. The defunding of the police, the media love affair with Black Lives Matter, all of these things combine to create an environment that will be looked back on in 10 and 20 years as phase two of white flight, except this time, it's not just the whites anymore. It's the blacks, it's the Hispanics, it's the immigrants, it's the first generation, it's the working poor. All the people that used to work and live inside the urban core, if they can get out, they're getting out. Now, there are a couple things at play. The absolute collapse of the urban school district, and we've seen that with HISD. That's why the states had to take it over. So you can't send your kid to the local school. Well, guess what? You moved out to Montgomery County. You move out to Crosby. You move out west. You move out to Brookshire. You get outside the city, out to the rural areas, and you have good schools. What an amazing thing. So you got the schools. I've got a funny story for you. So Monday, Michael T. toured Texas A&M. So my wife and Michael T. and Crockett go up, take their tour. They're walking all around. They're coming back, and Michael loves to drive. And so it's my wife's SUV, but he's driving. And they're coming back, and they are at the age, he and Crockett, that anytime anything happens, when you and I would be sort of still going, what in the hell is happening? What is my exit route? What should I do? Do you know what their immediate reaction is? Pull out the phone. Last year, Eddie Martini and his wife came to visit us in Colorado. And Michael had 2 days starting with football. So Eddie said, well, he can just fly back with us and I'll drive him home. So Michael flew back on the same flight with Eddie and his wife. And they land and they're coming from Hobby Airport. Now, Aspen is the most uppity, prissy, you name it kind of place. There's a lot of things to criticize about Aspen. But there's zero crime. No thugs, no crime. Eddie has landed at Hobby Airport and is driving to his mansion. But he's got to drop Michael T. off. 10 minutes after they leave the airport, the traffic's kind of heavy. This dude comes up and smashes them from behind. And when he smashes them, it pushes them forward and tears up the back of Eddie's car and pulls off the side of that guy's car. And it puts some separation in between the two. Well, you can imagine what this thug does. He goes around while Eddie's still figuring out what the hell just happened. This dude's on the run. So Eddie, being a hot-headed coonass that ain't about to let this happen, starts giving chase. So they chase the guy, till finally the guy hits somebody else. Car's incapacitated. He's over on the side of the road. They pull up. Eddie's jumping out. We don't know if the guy's got a gun. Eddie's wife is screaming because it's not, you know, you don't want to watch your husband get killed to some thug that doesn't care, right? And Eddie is wanting to just pound his face, but I don't know how he managed not to kill the guy because Eddie is a hothead. And this is typical coonass behavior. He's going to fight the guy and probably going to win because he's not that big, but he's a scrappy fella and he works out like a maniac. And he's got good cardio. And as you know, Ramon, most fights like this, it's not about who's stronger. It's who can continue to throw punches while the other guy's out of gas, right? There's the big startup to the fight, and then the guy that loses is the one that's completely out of gas. And God help him if he's on the bottom and the other guy's in better shape. So Eddie would be able to just pound on this guy for a while. But fortunately, that doesn't happen because a bunch of other people swoop in. So everything's over. They get back in the car and they're driving back. Eddie's like, "You all right, Michael?" He goes, at the time, he's 16. He's like, "Yes, Mr. Eddie, I'm fine." So they're driving along. And Eddie starts explaining what happened, and his wife's saying, "No, this happened." And Eddie and Michael is in the back watching the video, and he goes, "No, he did turn right there." And Eddie looks back and realizes he has his phone. Eddie pulls the car over to the side of the road. "Did you film that?" "Yes, sir." "Is that okay?" "Yeah, it's okay. Let's just watch and see what happened instead of me and my wife arguing over what happened." And he and his wife thought that was the funniest thing, because you and I would never think at that moment, pull the camera out and film it, for better or for worse. You see these hood rats getting a fight in the school or in the what do you call a little food area in the mall? In the food court. You see a fight in the food court at the mall, and there's the one guy you don't see who filmed it, but you see 35 other people film it. Nobody's helping because that's what they think of kids today. Who film it? Going to put on WorldStar. So. Anyway, what was the story I was telling you about the guy filming? That was what got me off track. There was a story about a guy filming. I was telling about the deal with Eddie and that guy. Well, I'll think of it. Y'all give me a minute. I'll think of it.
Trends in everything. The Michael Berry Show.
Bullies, of course. With your ghost, lonely and dreaming of the West Coast. I don't want to be your downtown. I don't want to be your stupid game. With my big black boots and an old suitcase, I do believe I'll find myself a new place.
All right, I don't want back to the story that led me to the story. So my wife and Crockett and Michael T. are touring Texas A&M. Michael's a junior. Applications open for the university starting August 1st. So he'll begin his senior year in just a few months. And that's when you start applying to your university. So he's been touring schools. They're coming back from College Station to Houston. And they're in Waller County. And we have some friends who are Waller County deputies. And I know a little bit about Waller County and how they view crime. And I can tell you, you'd rather live in Waller County than Harris County because of it. And all of a sudden, four sheriff's deputies swoop in and surround this car that comes flying in. Traffic's pretty bad. I guess this is on 6. Traffic's pretty bad. And they surround him and jump out, guns drawn, as they proceed to walk toward him. Well, there's two cars in between my wife and kids and the action. But two cars up is right on the car that is the subject of the drawn guns. The thug inside stays inside the car. And the first car in the line throws it in reverse and starts backing. I've got it all on video, so I see it. It's not just a description. And he starts backing, and he's looking back like, "I'm going to hit you and drive you if you don't back up." So the guy in the second car is backing up. So Michael is looking back and throws it into reverse. And my wife says, "You can't back up. We're on the highway." He says, "Mom, these cars are coming back, And we don't know if they're going to start shooting. She's like, I guess you're right. So everybody backs up the maximum they can, but you're slowed down because you're only as fast as the person behind you backing up. So this standoff lasts for about a minute. And I don't know what the guy did or why the guns were drawn, but I can tell you that guy must have known he was in Waller County and that this isn't a George Floyd County, because he came out of his vehicle, hands up, and when they took him down, he didn't fight, and he didn't have his, he'd put his weapon down, and they took him into custody without much more to say about it and moved on down the road. So they get home and they want to show me the video, and they're like, Dad, why would they have done this with guns drawn? What had he done? And I said, I don't know, but they had a good reason. It ain't a routine traffic stop for the vehicles were coming through the ditch. You know, they're going the opposite direction. They're coming through the ditch. They're jumping out in the ditch. They're running up there. You interrupted lunch. They're not coming because they're bored. These guys are coming because there is a problem in their county and they don't play. So they said, why would there be guns drawn? And I said, listen, if our HPD officers were allowed to do their jobs, there'd be more guns drawn more often and more thugs shot, frankly, but they're not. And that is part of the cost of living where we live and the politics of it all. And the George Floyd situation is a major part of where things went wrong. So there's an article in CNN entitled Bailed Out, Arrested Again. These charities boomed after the murder of George Floyd. They're under fire for bailing out violent offenders. I'm going to send this in the Daily Blast today. Jim will put it in our blast so you can read it for yourself. It's 17 pages long. But it's about these organizations that were created after George Floyd that get bad guys out of prison, out of jail. It includes Antifa and Black Lives Matter thugs that just smashed up downtowns and communities and burned police cars and attacked police stations and attacked people. In fact, there were people who were killed. And they talk about how these organizations couldn't keep up because the money was flowing in so fast. You've got a lot of rich white liberals who love to fund organizations like this because they have private security details, because they know the mayor and the police chief in their town. You'd be shocked how many times liberals call on a police chief or a mayor or some special occasion where they get special protection. If a crime is ever committed to somebody in their circle, the book is thrown. You remember the rapper who was gunned down at the high-end bowling lane downtown? That guy didn't get a bond, remember? He didn't get a bond because a black man who shoots a black rapper, he doesn't get treated with a, we don't feel bad for him. He has robbed us of our poet laureate, the rapper. Because who else is going to sing about the hose other than a fireman? We got to have somebody who can sing about the hose and the guns and the cash and y'all can't have this up in here and put the ice on their teeth and slap the women on their butt and make it rain with the cash. And if you shoot him dead, what will we be left with? What will be the soundtrack of our life? So you will go into a cage because you're a bad guy. Now, if he had grabbed a little Vietnamese woman, who's the mother of three children, pile-drived her into the concrete, stole her cash, left her paralyzed, we'll give you a bond. And they did. There's a wonderful article, this will be in our blast today too, by Holly Hansen in The Texan. And if you want a good paper to read, go to The Texan. I think it's thetexan.com. They are doing the best coverage of Texas politics of anybody right now. I've got a subscription. I don't know what it costs, 10, 20 bucks a year to support good journalism. But if you want good journalism, Connie Burton, Holly Hansen, they're doing wonderful.
The Michael Berry Show.
Bye. of the United States of America. And to the Republic for which it stands. One nation under God. Indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
That song went to number one on the iTunes chart until iTunes took it down. Imagine that. The story behind the song is it is what is called the January 6th Prison Choir and Donald Trump. Kash Patel, who was in the Trump administration, was part of the making of that. It was apparently a major recording artist who was involved. But the story goes that the prisoners who were arrested after January 6th, every night before they go to bed, they all sing in unison the Pledge of Allegiance. And so somebody recorded over their phone. That's why the recording is not a studio recording. They recorded the group of them singing in unison that song on an iPhone. And then they mixed it. An audio engineer took Trump's vocals and mixed it over that. It's called Justice for All. It's, Ramon says you can find it on Spotify. The song, according to Forbes, quote, it was produced by a major recording artist who was not identified. Between March 10th and March 16th, it sold 33,000 digital downloads. It's also now been released on Rumble, and we'll probably send the Rumble link out in the blast today because I'm betting that's the easiest way for everybody to find it. You can find it was available on iTunes for $1.29, and it hit number one in just a few days, but iTunes took it down. Does that not tell you everything you need to know? You can sing a song about murdering kids or killing Jews or most any other thing. Just don't dare talk about January 6th and our Pledge of Allegiance. The claim is that net proceeds from the song will be donated to, quote, certain J6 families in need, according to Kash Patel, who, quote, played an integral role in producing the song. So there you go. Speaking of songs, Ramon, do you have the confrontation? Most of you will probably think this is stupid, but it makes me happy. How long is it? 2:40. That's just right. I'm a huge fan of Les Mis. Absolutely love it. And one of my favorite things to do with friends of mine who know the various songs is sing the duets. If I call, I'll just start into, I'm always Valjean, never Javert, but I will call and I will start my role and they do their role. And this occurs with lawyers, judges, businessmen, football players, you name it. If you know the songs, we do it. There is a great scene where Javert, the the career lawman is trying to arrest Valjean, the man who's gone right. And so we remade that, Chance and his son Noah. Noah's the one whose vocals just blow you away here, as the confrontation in Les Mis, because today is the day.
Prison yacht,
like a phoenix with our flag,
the swamp will return.